Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic to cosplay to Schitt's Creek to Supernatural and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Pop Culture and Fandom News. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and this week on Friday's episode, we are going to be rounding out Topic Month with a look at convention do's and don'ts. So last week, of course, we talked about fanfic do's and don'ts, which I hope everybody loved that episode. That was one of my favorite episodes we have done recently. And I'm sure we'll revisit that topic because I thought we had a really good discussion and there was a lot of stuff we still didn't cover. So we will be revisiting that at some point, but this Friday it will be convention do's and don'ts. And I have a great panel with me this week. I have, first off, Erin A., my lovely producer. Say hello, Erin A.
Hi.
And Beck, she hasn't been on since last year, since like right when the strikes happened. It was one of the very first episodes we ever did during that time. So Judy, hello.
Hey, glad to be here.
I am so glad to have you back. And last but certainly not least, one of my co-hosts of It's a Dean Thing Pod, Paula. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
So I'm happy to have all of you on this week. And before we get to those convention do's and don'ts, we're going to talk about some pop culture and fandom news. So first off, as always, Erin A., what is one thing in fandom or pop culture that you are into right now?
I am into something that's completely not like fandom, and I'm shocked by it, but it's really good. I just finished season 2 of The Tourist on Netflix, and it is wild. Have any of you guys seen this? Like, I have nobody to talk to about it. Oh my gosh. So essentially, I found this really great like recap of it, and now I can't find it because it like perfectly captured. Oh, someone on Reddit called it basically a violent, dark comedy set in the Australian outback full of eccentric characters, which is like totally perfect. It is like very like dark. Sometimes a comedy, it's not really, it's more like a mystery. So season 1 is like, there's this extremely attractive Irish man, not Colin Farrell, but like, they've got to be friends. Like, I can just see them just like hanging out together. Anyway, and he's just driving in Australia and he gets in this car wreck and loses his memory. And so then like this police officer kind of like helps him discover who he is. And turns out he's like in like the Irish mafia sort of thing. But it's like this wild twists and turns. It's so good. And I just watched season 2 in like a week and it's crazy. Season 2, they go to Ireland and I don't know. It's just, it's a wild ride. And then like the last like 30 seconds of the last episode of season 2 was just like, your head will explode. It's like, oh my God, the biggest plot twist ever. And now I'm like dying because it's going to be forever. If there's a season 3, I don't even know. There's got to be. I don't know. It's just really good and I'm obsessed with it. I might watch it again. It is very pretty violent, though. Be warned.
Yeah, I haven't seen this or really heard too much about it. And it sounds like nobody else has on the panel either. But
I think I have heard of it.
You've heard of it.
Yeah.
There has to be a season 3 now. I'm dying.
Was it left on like a cliffhanger then?
Yes. Like the biggest cliffhanger. Like he
Don't tell us.
I won't. Right. I won't tell you, but I'll kind of tell you because he still kind of doesn't know who he is. Like he does, but he doesn't know anything about himself. And then he gets like this mysterious file and he tosses it into the fire. He's like, I'm good. And then they show it like burning and show what the file is. And you're like, oh my God. It's crazy.
And you said that was on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Okay. It's very good. There is like some really dark comedy aspects of it. A really good characters. One of the main characters is played by this Australian actress called Danielle McDonald. And she's so, so good. And she's got like this ex-boyfriend who's just like such an idiot and constantly mansplaining to her. And she's just like, no, I'm not putting up with this anymore. No, it's great.
Awesome. I'll have to add that to my list that's about 10 miles long, but I'll have to add it. So Judy,
yeah,
what's something you're into right now?
So if anybody's listened for a while, they know I'm a fanfic girl. Like I love reading fanfics, but I've mostly stayed like a lot of supernatural and dabbled in a little bit of other things. But I have lately gotten just thrown down into the lovely rabbit hole that is Marauders fanfics. So if you don't understand the reference of what Marauders are, it's the Harry Potter universe, but it's his parents back when they were at school. So it's James Potter and Sirius and Lupin and Snape when he was young and Wormtail. It's all of them when they were young. And I gotta tell you, there's the quality of the fix that I've read and just the depth of the stories that they put together are far more interesting than even our, you know, beloved Harry Potter himself. Like it's better and their stories are better and more interesting than the Harry Potter story. So I just love these guys. However, it's also a bit of self-torture because we all know how their story ends. So unless it's a complete AU, you're reading this rich story of their adventures and their lives and their relationships. And you know that every single one of them are going to lead tragic lives and die painfully. Right? I mean, because it's all pre-Harry Potter. And so it's rough, but I guess I'm, you know, I like torturing myself a little bit because I'm so hooked. And there's a really, probably, I think it's the one that really kicked off the Marauders fandom, because there's a huge fandom around the Marauders now. So there's like fan art and fics and videos and all this kind of stuff. Fan casting, there's lots of that. The one that sort of started it all is All the Young Dudes. So if anybody wants to get started in the Marauders fandom, read All the Young Dudes. It starts with year one of James Potter going to Hogwarts, goes all 7 years and the 10 years leading up to when Harry, actually even past when Harry starts school, into when Sirius dies and Lupin dies. So it's their whole adventure from the school to the war. And it's beautiful and tragic. And at its core, it's told from Lupin's point of view. So at its core, it's a story of a disabled person and how they get along in the world, because he's a werewolf, and that makes him, I mean, if you remember the movies, like he had a limp in the movies and scars and everything. So it's really fascinating how the author treats these characters in the story. So highly recommend.
We haven't had like a fanfic recommendation, except for like when we were talking about fanfic.
Yeah, yeah.
But we haven't had like a fanfic recommendation. I don't think we've ever had one for this segment ever that I'm trying to think of.
So okay.
This is awesome. You have done the very first fanfic recommendation.
Unsurprising that it's me.
I love that though. Yeah. Cause that's awesome.
And it's a whole new fandom that I was not really a part of before. I mean, I was like Harry Potter, but I was never really a fangirl of that whole world. So yeah. Very cool.
Cool. Cool. And do you know who wrote All the Young Dudes?
I want to, it's like Messer Moon or something. I can look it up real quick.
But. Okay. Yeah, just go.
Yeah, credit where credit's due, right?
Yeah, and then if I can find it, I can also put the link in the show notes for everybody too.
So. I'll get it for you.
Yeah, awesome. So Paula, what are you into right now?
So I've been following along for the last week or so. I just found out anybody that plays video games, especially like Super Mario Brothers, on the Nintendo Wii U, they had this game called Super Mario Maker that you could actually make levels of Super Mario Brothers, and you could upload them after proving that it was beatable. And then other people could then go online and play those levels and try to beat them. And there was like hundreds of thousands of these levels. And last year, Nintendo announced that they were shutting down the servers. So this group of gamers got together and they wanted to beat all of the levels before the deadline, which is like April 8th. And I just found out about this a week ago. So there's also been a little drama because they got down to like the very last level. And it turns out that that very last level that they were trying to beat was actually a illegitimate level because the person that uploaded it used a tool assisted speed run to upload it. So there was all this drama going on, and are they going to beat it? Are they not going to beat it? I'm like, this is insane. It's a lot of fun. So they did meet their goal. They beat all of the levels. And now, even though that level is not a legitimate level, they're still trying to beat it before the deadline just to see if they can do it. So it's been a kind of a fun little ride, and there's been a lot of articles online about it and kind of delving into some of the history behind the game and all that. It's been kind of fun this week. So that's what I've been into.
Awesome. Yeah, I know nothing about the gaming world, so I love it because I learned so much from you about the gaming world, because I know nothing about it. Like, and it's not that I haven't played games before, and I loved games when I was younger, like Pac-Man, and dating myself here, of course, and Centipede. Those were like my favorites. But I never really got into the gaming community. I did do some of the like the role-playing games. Like, mm-hmm. I used to do vampire role-playing games, like when AO3, sorry. When AOL.
Right. AOL.
But never these. So it's always interesting to me to learn that kind of that world and stuff. It's such a different world, but everything kind of goes together. But yeah, we'll have to revisit gaming at some point, because we did do an episode, everybody, if you haven't listened to it, it was from a couple years ago, talking about women and gaming and stuff. So yeah, so go back and listen to that one. Awesome. Well, what I'm into is decidedly heavier than anything that's been mentioned, so
I'm shocked.
Trudy's like, it's you, of course. No, I understand. So there is a new series on HBO Max called Quiet on the Set and The Dark Side of Kids Television. And I want to say up front, trigger warnings for this series. And they give trigger warnings before it starts too. But this talks a lot about sexual abuse, especially of underage people. And then also sexual harassment in the workplace, stuff like that. So it's a very heavy watch. But it is all about stuff that happened on Nickelodeon shows mainly, and about a producer, Dan Schneider, who was huge, like he was Nickelodeon, and his abuse of the staff, a lot of the inappropriate sketches, like they were showing some of the stuff they would have these kids do in these sketches. And it's like really disturbing the amount of sexual innuendo that would be in these shows that were made for kids. I mean, some of the clips they showed, I'm like, really? That was on there? Like, and then they'd have like characters like Pickle Man, and it was very clearly, you know, lots of innuendo there. The way that some of the female stars were treated and stuff like that. But Dan Schneider was also horrible to his staff, especially women on his staff. And he would notoriously make like people from his staff give him massages and back rubs and stuff, and he would choose people to do it. Like the one person who, she was anonymous and she used to do costuming, and she said, you know, he would call me down and be like, I want you to come and give me a massage. And she's like trying to do costuming for like 10 different shows at that time. And it was just that power dynamic stuff. But the most disturbing part is how many alleged pedophiles were working in this on these shows. And one of them abused Drake Bell, and, or I guess I should still say for legality reasons, allegedly abused Drake Bell, he was like this anonymous at the time, an anonymous accuser of Brian Peck, who used to work on these shows and worked very closely with these kids. And it's very, very heartbreaking what was done to him. And I do want to say, I know there are allegations against Drake Bell as well for sending stuff to an underage girl and all of that. So I do want to acknowledge that, you know, it's no excuse for doing that, but it's also horrible what was done to him. And so it's the first time he's spoken about it publicly like that. And the other thing that just kills me about this is all these people, when Brian Peck, when all this stuff came about and he was, all these accusations against him and everything, all of these actors and other people, like dozens of them, wrote letters to the judge. And one of them, this is the one that breaks my heart the most, because I'm like, none of these people are ever good in Hollywood. It's like everybody's trash. It just, James Marsden is one of the ones who wrote one of the letters. And it's like, and the letters are like his letter says, Brian Peck has been through more trauma over this stuff than hundreds of men ever, or something along those lines. And I'm like, oh man. And some of the people that wrote these letters, like Joanne Kearns from Growing Pains, has said, I didn't know what was all going on before I wrote the letter. And I'm like, well, if you didn't, why didn't you find out? And then maybe, you know, or I think a lot of these people maybe did know some of it, but now they're like, oh, I look horrible, so I'm going to say I didn't know. I don't know that for sure. Of course, this is just my kind of just thoughts about it. But I just think, maybe we should rethink kids being actors, because the way these children are treated is, oh, and the way some parents treat them, and then other parents don't. Like Drake Bell's dad, it's very sad because he kind of knew. He's like, there's something about this Brian Peck guy. And Drake Bell's mom, like there was this whole, like that they were divorced, separated. So all this legal stuff was happening. And so Drake Bell's dad was no longer allowed to have any say in some of his like career and wasn't allowed to be there. And his dad said to his mom, just ensure me that you will keep him away from Brian Peck because I think there's something wrong. And then Drake Bell ended up like he'd spend nights at Brian Peck's house. All this stuff would happen. And then one of the breaking points was Drake Bell's girlfriend. He was over at her house. And so he was like, it was such a relief because I had this excuse to not be with Brian Peck. And Brian Peck was like going to take him to like Disneyland or something. And he had canceled because he's like, no, I'm staying with my girlfriend. And he called Drake Bell's cell phone, like kept calling over and over and over and over and over again. And then he was calling his girlfriend's mom's house and calling that landline over and over and over again and leaving messages and all of this stuff. And then finally, his girlfriend's mom said to Drake Bell, said, can I speak to you in the kitchen? And she's like, what's going on? She's like, no, 40-year-old man is not calling a teenager. That's not right. That's not okay. And it's like, you know, why don't we get you somewhere where you're safe and you can talk about what's going on? But Drake Bell still didn't feel safe enough to talk about everything. It just, what happened was he broke down to his mom at one point and got really angry and just said everything that was going on. And his mom called the police instantly. So it's just, once again, there are allegations, but still, he was convicted of this, Brian Peck, but he got like, I think it was like 16 months in prison. That's it. And he was allowed to work again. So it's like, it just is infuriating how little regard that industry has for people, really, and for human lives, and for the stuff that happens. And for children, you know, the children, the way these children were treated, even not just even the sexual stuff, but just the overworking them, making them do stuff that was really physically exhausting, lots of racism. So it's just really, really disheartening and sad. And the other thing, though, I do want to point out is everybody keeps saying, well, Amanda Bynes, there must have been something that happened to you, which I guess today, we're recording this on Saturday, the 23rd. I guess today Amanda Bynes did release a statement saying nothing happened to me, because she was really, really close to Dan Schneider for a long time. And so people were worried something had happened there. But they kept saying, I wish she would just come out and say something. I'm like, you can never, if she was a victim, you are not entitled to know how the victim was victimized. That's their journey. So don't ever pressure someone to come out. It's not right. And even if they're a public figure, that doesn't negate the fact that they're also human beings. So just don't do that. I just want to put that out there because that's kind of disturbing to me. So yeah. So once again, that's on HBO Max, but do heed all the trigger warnings there because it is intense. It's 4 episodes and it's very intense watch. So yeah.
I really want to watch that, but I've kind of been avoiding it because my kids were of the age that that's all we watched. We watched every episode of Drake and Josh, every episode of iCarly, multiple times. I mean, our TV never left the Nickelodeon channel while they were growing up. And I felt like, you know, I knew these kids. So watching it's really heartbreaking for me.
That's understandable. Yeah, I think that's what's happening to a lot of people because people have been talking about that and how it's kind of tainted a big part of their childhood, which is understandable, you know. And they're talking to a lot of these child actors as adults, and a lot of them that didn't have like necessarily sexual stuff happen, or at least that they've mentioned. And so that's another interesting part of it is them talking about that and talking about how there were great things about it, but that there were the dark sides of it too. So yeah, that's an understandable reason not to watch it. So
although I do want to, I feel like it's important, yeah, but I've been just kind of finding the right time.
I understand. Yeah. And gosh, if I could just not be disappointed by one person, please.
Right. They say never meet your heroes, right?
Exactly.
But yeah. I mean, we still quote Drake and Josh in our house all the time. Like there were some lines that we still say and quote and just, you know, joking around with each other because we all watched it so much. Yeah. So it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can move on to some other. I'm bringing everything down, so it's what I do best, I guess. No, so Erin A, what is one thing in pop culture or fandom that you're excited, upset, etc. about?
Okay, I'm not going to talk about Doctor Who. So I just want people to know that they did come out with a release date for the first episode, and it's very exciting because they're going to air it on Disney Plus at midnight in the UK, which is like 7 o'clock in the morning here. It's going to be so great, you guys. I'm so excited. Anyway, May 10th. Okay, but that's not it because I'm always excited about that. So I feel like that doesn't count. I'm always excited about Doctor Who. I'm excited because it is the beginning of convention season. So it's ironic that we're talking about this right now. WonderCon is next weekend and they're already making like a lot of announcements about stuff that's happening there. Seems to be a lot of Star Trek activity related to WonderCon, which is really exciting. They've announced the Star Trek Discovery premiere date is April 4th. So it's going to be like the best 2 months ever. But all of the WonderCon coverage is exciting. But once WonderCon is over, that's run by the same people as San Diego Comic-Con. So then that's when we're going to start getting like San Diego updates and things are happening there. So this is a very exciting time for me. Also, on a personal note, for San Diego Comic-Con, I put my big girl pants on and I applied to be in the art show there and I got in. So,
yay! That's awesome.
I'm super excited. I was so scared. It's like not everybody gets in. It's like a juried show, so I had to send them like pictures of my work and stuff, and so I'm very excited. I will have one little panel of my stuff in the art show, but so if you're going, you can go buy some of my work.
Oh, congratulations.
That's amazing. Yeah, congratulations, Erin A. That's so cool.
That is so exciting.
Yay. That's so cool. Yeah, we'll definitely, and we'll share more information, like, you know, the times, all of that stuff, too. So, you know, on social media, and then, yeah. Yay, congrats. That's so cool. I'm so proud of you, too, for doing that. That's hard
that
to do.
That was very scary.
I love that though. Yay. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of emails about WonderCon and stuff and a lot of notifications about things. And
very exciting. So yeah, I've never been to WonderCon. It's in Los Angeles. I always like think I should go, but I am going to go to San Diego. So that's the next exciting thing.
And you're going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Very excited.
Yay.
And it's almost hotel apocalypse time. If you go to San Diego Comic-Con, you know what that means and you will cry. So the hotel lottery is the next big thing. It's probably coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we will know if we have a place to stay or if we're going to like sleep in our car.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Judy, what is one thing you're excited, upset, et cetera, about?
Well, my favorite trashy escape TV show is coming out with season 3, Bridgerton. It's such garbage, and I love it. I love it. I mean, it's just candy for the eyes. Like, you're just watching it, and the costumes and the sets, and it's a mess, but it's just
relax, fun mess.
Relax and just enjoy the beauty of it all. And I've been to the Bridgerton ball, so you know, I love like just that the prettiness, the beauty, the era. Yeah. Not that I would ever want to be part of that era, but but it's fun to watch other people go through this sort of imaginary world drama. So yeah, it's just a romance novel on TV.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that show at some point. I haven't watched any of it, so it'll be when I'll have to be able to prepare to watch it. So yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's got a big following, and yeah, and it's, again, it's kind of trashy, but it's so much fun.
There is nothing wrong with trashy. We all need stuff that's trashy in our lives, frankly.
We do.
Yeah, it can bring a lot of joy. Like I said, I still watch Days of Our Lives every day, so hey.
I'm not going to trash shame.
If it makes you happy, watch it.
Exactly.
There's so little in this world lately that can bring it. So you have to find joy when you can find joy. So
100%.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Someday I will watch that, but I'm going to wait until we cover it. So at some point we'll cover it. When does season 3 come out?
I don't know the exact date, but it's sometime very soon. Very soon. You know, Netflix will tell me. You know, it'll be on the headline. You log in, you're like, oh, it's out. Yay. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the things Netflix is good at.
I'm not great at keeping up with, oh, this is coming out on, you know, this date or whatever. I just turn it on like, yeah. Oh, look what's out. You know, right, season 3 of Invincible or whatever. So,
yeah, same. So, Paula, what's one thing you're excited, et cetera, about?
So, I can't really say that I'm excited about this. For all of my fellow Gen X kids, this is probably going to infuriate all of us. Apparently, there's going to be a new film series of The NeverEnding Story. Yes.
I thought you were going to say that new Golden Girls thing. I'm like, that's another
I haven't heard about that.
Golden Girls thing. What?
Yes. I keep saying, and maybe it's an AI, maybe it's fake. I don't know, but I've seen like multiple things that there's a new Golden Girls coming to Disney Plus with like Amy Poehler.
Oh, no.
Exactly. No. Like, why? See? Why? It might be fake. It might be fake, but.
All of these things.
I've seen it a few times, which leads me to believe maybe it's a thing.
I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing would surprise me at this point. But
because there's no new ideas out there.
No, there's not. And this movie is sacred. It yeah, not super happy about that.
One of the saddest deaths ever.
I'm still... Yep. Still traumatized.
It traumatized all.
And we know it's okay at the end. Still traumatized. But then there's also this small part of me that's kind of interested to see what they might do with it, because I've read the book, and the movie only touched on like a fraction of the book. So it's like, on the one hand, it's like, don't touch that movie. But on the other hand, what are you going to do with it? Because it could be interesting. So I'm very conflicted, but most of me is just like, no, just leave it alone.
Yeah. And leave Golden Girls alone too. Jeez.
Right?
I just Googled it. It said it was fake news.
It's fake news.
Okay, so really can relax. We can relax. I was like, is this real?
Thank goodness.
Well, speaking of remakes, so last night I was on Amazon Prime and there's a new Roadhouse.
Yes. Yeah. With Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Feels unnecessary.
I haven't watched it yet. We watched the original Roadhouse last night, and then I think we're going to watch the remake tonight.
It's supposed to be awful. I did talk about this.
Pretty awful.
Yeah, like, but this is supposed to be
night,
really awful. But I talked about the trailer. There's a TikTok where I kind of mentioned it when we're talking with Carla, because putting aside how trashy it may be, watching that trailer was quite an enjoyable experience because of Jake Gyllenhaal's body. It's like amazing.
First of all, I don't buy the Jake Gyllenhaal as a UFC fighter, really, but whatever. But yeah, I feel like the only thing that they could find trashier than like 1989 Missouri was present day Florida, and they just ran with it hard, right?
I mean, it fits. It fits.
I can't. But we're going to watch it. I'm going to hate watch it tonight, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, have you ever seen the movie Southpaw, which is actually a good movie? If you doubt that Jake Gyllenhaal can... And you still doubt that Jake Gyllenhaal...
No, but like 40-year-old Jake Gyllenhaal... I don't know. He just... I guess that's the whole point, though, because like that was the running theme in the original was like, well, you don't look that tough, so...
Well, in that trailer, he looks pretty darn incredible. The only reason I want to watch it is for the eye candy. I don't really care about it.
Just mute it.
Yes, yes. Just mute it while I'm watching just the eye candy part of it. Yeah.
I will report back.
Okay, yep. And then Golden Girls, just as a heads up, if you don't know, that was the one that won our listener poll for what we're going to cover in May as part of Comedy Month. So we are doing an episode of covering Golden Girls. So, yeah. Well, I also have something that I'm not really excited about, and it has to do with AI. So there's this new horror movie coming out called Late Night with the Devil, and this has been hyped up as one of the best horror movies of the year. And like, it's got like high rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It made like the film circuit last year, and people are just raving about this film. It's set in the 70s, and it's all this like talk show, and like there's different like people coming on there to do certain things, and there's like an exorcism that's going to take place. Well, it's been facing criticism this past week because it was revealed that a social media user identified that the film used 3 AI-generated illustrations for some art in it. So, i.e. the title cards that such shows use to say things like, we'll be right back, coming in and out of commercial breaks. So they used AIs for that. And so people are calling for a boycott of this film. Other people are talking about how it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Other people are like, well, why are you only going after this very independent horror movie and not after like Marvel that did the same thing? And so it is a complex situation. And I'm going to put in the show notes a TikTok, and I shared it on our Instagram stories like last week, that I think actually goes over how complex this issue is with this, and how not at all saying this is okay that they did this, but that there are a lot of different nuanced levels to this. Like people have pointed out, well, this movie was made before the strikes, and which doesn't excuse it, just that's what people have pointed out. But it's by TikTok user Stoobs, Stoobs. And I will be linking to that TikTok video in the show notes because I think it explains this better than I probably can. But I did want to just point out, I just wanted to read a quote because the filmmakers are not denying that they did this. Cameron and Colin Cairns, who are the Australian siblings who wrote and directed the film, responded to the criticism in a statement to Variety. And they said, quote, in conjunction with our amazing graphics and production design team, all of whom worked tirelessly to give this film the 70s aesthetic we had always imagined, we experimented with AI for 3 still images, which we edited further and ultimately appear as very brief interstitials, which are like the in and out things that I described in the beginning, in the film. We feel incredibly fortunate to have had such a talented and passionate cast, crew, and producing team go above and beyond to help bring this film to life. We can't wait for everyone to see it for themselves this weekend. So basically, they don't really care that this happened. Honestly, the filmmakers are not saying we shouldn't have done this. They had time to even edit it if they wanted to and change it. So that's where also people are having an issue, which I totally get. You know, I think there is a place for AI. Sometimes I think it can be okay in certain places, but if it is taking away from a job, if it is like possibly like if you had this huge team and you don't want to use part of that team to make this, it's kind of weird to me. And they're just like playing around with it. It's a very slippery slope, really, kind of thing. But if you're going to criticize a small independent movie that like was made for nothing, and probably these people made nothing on this movie, maybe they'll make some more. I don't know, because this controversy has kind of stopped the other part, which was, this is the best horror movie of the year so far. So it's, and I was really excited about watching this movie. And now I'm like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, to be quite honest. But if you're going to go after this independent movie, you also have to go after the big budget ones, because in a way, even though I'm not excusing it being used anywhere, in a way it pisses me off more when big budget movies do it than these little small ones, because you've got this huge budget to do that. You don't need to cut those corners. So yeah, AI is such a danger. And if you've been called on it and you're the filmmakers, I kind of think this response is kind of just flippant and not really acknowledging why people are concerned about it. So yeah, it's kind of a bummer because I was really excited about this movie. So
I mean, that seems like a minor use compared to some of the stuff that's going on, right? I mean, they're like taking background actors' faces and they wanted to be able to use them forever. Like that's a whole different thing. So I feel like this is minor in the grand scheme of things.
It is, yeah. And that's what people have pointed out. And then other people said, yeah, it's minor, but if you excuse this, then how many other things are you going to excuse? So it's
a very slow.
Yeah, it's a very complicated conversation that we will definitely get into more in depth again. I mean, we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but we'll continue to. We should just do like a whole episode talking about AI and its place and not place. And it's danger even outside of this industry. It's a danger for every industry, not just this industry. So yeah, it's scary. It's scarier than TikTok. Hello.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scarier. So yeah. Well, for our final thing, this is lighter. This is a lot lighter and happier than what I have been talking about. So for fun, since we're covering conventions on our Friday episode, I just want to know, I know this is a very hard question to answer, honestly, because I said one, so I know everybody wants to kill me right now whenever I make everybody limit things, I know, but you know, hey, I like torture and pain. So, so Aaron A., I know this is hard to answer, but what is one favorite convention memory for you?
It is so hard. Okay. I wrote down two, but I'm going to pick right now. Okay. So I think one of the most magical moments that I've had in a room full of 6,000 people is at San Diego Comic-Con in 2019. It was the very last Supernatural panel going right before season 15 started. And everyone knew it was like the end and this was going to be their last panel. And so it kind of like started out really like a normal panel and everyone's kind of nostalgic. And then they played this like montage video of like clips from every season. And it was like everyone was getting super emotional. I was there with my friend Rebecca and I think her brother was with us. My husband had thrown a fit and refused to get up early to go sit in line to get in because it was a whole thing. That was the last convention that my dear sweet husband attended with me because I didn't realize he hated conventions, but he was going with me. Anyway, I digress. And so like, we're kind of like looking at each other like, this is like really hard. And I don't remember what song started, but like, you know, about season 10, they started new music and it was Carry On My Wayward Son. And just like everyone started crying. I'm like thinking about it. I have goosebumps right now, just like thinking about it. And everyone kind of like cheered and like the cast up on the stage was crying. Like, I'm going to cry right now thinking about it. Cause like it was just, you could tell it meant so much to everybody in that room. We had all stood in line for hours to get in there and you could tell how much it meant to the cast, the show and the fans and everything. And it was just so nice. And it was so weird being in the room, literally like, I think Hall H holds a little over 6,000 people and it was packed and just everyone had the same vibe. And I think there was like not a dry eye in the house. It was incredible. And then, you know, we all hugged each other and it was really sweet.
That was when they brought Kansas, the band, in,
it
right?
It was not.
Oh, no. It wasn't. That was the previous year.
That one. That was in 2018. That was the one, okay. One year that I didn't go. My friend was definitely. She said it was amazing. But yeah, no, that was, instead of Kansas, they like somehow managed to top themselves. They played a video about like Baby and how they've got like multiple cars that they use for it and how every time they crash one, they rebuild it and stuff like that. And then at the end of the video, they were like, and we're going to give one away to somebody here. And like the crowd went wild. And so a lady in the audience won a baby.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
Oh.
That's a big prize.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I can't remember how many they said they had. There was like a lot. It was five or six or something, like of the same car that they had that they used through the show. So she won one of them. I think Jensen got one.
Yeah.
Jensen and Jared each got one.
Yeah, kind of went places. And then, yeah, this very, very, very lucky lady won one in the audience. It was crazy.
Wow.
That's a cool con memory.
I've looked, like, every 6 months, I look for that video, and, like, they've never published it. They're really strict at Comic-Con about filming stuff. Like, you can film the panels, but once, like, videos start, there's people walking around, like, making sure you're not filming the videos and stuff, and I can't find it anywhere. I thought I'd find, like, a bootleg of it or something, and I can't. And, like, I literally spent the last hour before recording here, like, trying to find this video, and I can't find it, and it kills me because it was so good. It's so good. It had like, it was probably like a minute worth of clips for each season. Like, it was just amazing. I wish they would publish it.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. That's really special. That's very special. It was amazing. That's like incredibly lucky.
Yeah. You were there at a moment in time.
It was so cool. Everyone got little tiny diecast babies that was there. It was really cool.
Man. I really hope whoever it is who won baby is like, live in a great life.
We need to find this lady.
Yes.
If you're listening.
Can you imagine winning that? Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. It was so cool. And everyone was just like genuinely so happy for this one lady. It was awesome. But yeah, and that was my husband was very upset that he missed it, but he hates groups of people and he hates standing in line and he hates talking to strangers. And that's pretty much
that's a convention.
And I didn't realize that he like hated all these things so badly and that he was just going like to be there with me. And I'm like, you don't have to do this anymore. So that was also his last con. And then he was, after I told him like everything that happened, he was actually really sad because to get into Hall H, we sat there Saturday night. We got in line at like 6 p.m. on Saturday night. They hand out wristbands so you can come back in the morning. And so like around midnight, we got our wristbands to go back. And then we had to go back, get in line at 7 in the morning. You had to be in line before 7 with your wristband or else you got sent to the back of the line. So he didn't want to get up that early because we had to get up at like 5:30 to get ready and take an Uber over there and stuff. And so he didn't want to get up that early after sitting in line for no good reason. And it was a whole thing. But yeah, it was totally worth it.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So, Judy.
Yeah. So, my favorite con is actually probably one that's very unexpected. It was actually a little fan created con, no celebrities at all. It was about 10 years ago, I think, 2014-ish. And they did it 3 years in a row. It was called DCL Con. So, it was for fans of Supernatural, focused on, you know, the ship of Dean and Cass. However, there was, you know, just any fans of the show. And it was this tiny little con, 150 people probably. They did it 3 years in a row, put on by fans, for fans. And it was just the most lovely group of people. It was relaxing, supportive, no pressure, no celebrities. It was just fun. It was just 150 people who loved the same thing getting together to talk about it. And there were fan-led panels of, you know, things like there was the Sam Winchester panel that everybody loved. There was panels about like alternative ships. There was, you know, things like deep dives into Dean Winchester's psyche and, you know, daddy issues galore. There were ones about like making your own cosplay. And they, you know, they did a lot of the things that normal fans or normal cons do, like a karaoke night, and they had a big dance, but they had tabletop games and like a little scavenger hunt like the one on TV or the in that episode with a monster at the end of the book, is it? Anyway. Yeah, it was just wonderful because it was just a bunch of fans getting together. No fangirl drama, no celebrity drama, just people who love the thing, same thing, getting together and enjoying their love for that thing. I loved it. It was so nice. And they ran it for three years. And then the people that ran it were like, you know, we just don't have the time or energy to do it anymore. And it kind of fell apart. But boy, it was great. I would love to do more sort of fan run, fan cons that aren't necessarily the pressure of celebrities.
Yeah, that's an interesting, especially the pressure of celebrities. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a difference, I think, because if you're just thinking about the celebrity and you're not thinking about the other aspect of a convention, which is the other fans and being together with other fans of something. Yeah.
That's my favorite part of cons anyway. I love the other fans and friends. Yeah.
Even if they are there to celebrate Sam Winchester.
I mean, there was critique, there was celebration, but yeah.
Sorry, everybody should know this by now. And if you listen to our other podcasts, there's, you know, it's a Dean thing. Yeah. We have a warning about that. So. So, Paula, what's one of yours?
So, I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction. And I've been to a lot of Supernatural conventions and I've had a lot of great experiences there, but one of my favorite ones was actually last year at Fan Expo here in Denver. When I was little, cartoons were a big thing, and I absolutely loved Transformers. Like, Optimus Prime was like my absolute favorite. Loved that character. He was like my hero when I was little. So last year, I got to do a meet and greet where he was doing autographs, pictures, and he would record a little voice message for everybody that was part of this meet and greet. And so they took us in groups of like 6 or 10 or whatever. And so we got to hear him record these little voice messages for everybody. And he kind of personalized them for everybody. And that was just, like, we get in there and the first time he did the voice and the girl behind me and I are just standing there with our eyes closed. Like, we're like 8 years old again. And I'm going to start crying because it was just, it was so amazing. And I still have this little voice recording. And every time I'm having a bad day, I just get to hear Optimus say that he's my friend and, you know, do the Autobots roll out. And it's just one of my favorite memories.
Aww.
That's really cool. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Okay, I take back what I said about Demetrios.
Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it sucks, it's okay. Sometimes exactly. It really is just an amazing, magical experience.
Good.
And that was one of them.
Aw, I love that. Well, this was hard for me too, but one of them, and one of the people involved in this memory is actually here on this panel right now, but one of my favorite moments ever, and this was at a Supernatural convention in Denver, is when, and I wasn't even part of it, it was more watching it, and that was when during karaoke, because they do karaoke, which is free for everybody Friday night. And a bunch of my friends got up there and sung Girls Just Want to Have Fun, including Judy.
It was so much fun.
And also frequent panelist, yeah. Susie, and a couple of other people. And it was just like, I don't know, the joy of watching people just have no fear. I mean, I'm sure there was nervousness. I'm not saying there wasn't nervousness. I wasn't. But, always. You know, but just watching someone with that joy and just letting go and being up there and being celebrated, and you're not the celebrity, but you're being celebrated kind of in the same almost way, and just being there in the crowd and singing along as well and videotaping it. And just the whole experience was really magical. There's something about those conventions that are very special and make you forget how much toxicity can be in that fandom. You kind of forget it at those conventions for the most part. And so having that experience was just beautiful. And really, I think is on the same level, if not tops, the experiences of like some of the celebrity panels and stuff too. So, and the photo ops and stuff. It's just, I loved being able to watch that and watch everybody get up there and sing that song and everybody sing along and watching the hosts of the karaoke and everything do that as well. So that was such a wonderful moment. And I love every year when the memory pops up and it's just the photo beforehand that we took. And what is so great about that photo that I really...
The bomber?
Yes. The person from Creation Entertainment is just in the photo. And it's just like this random guy just in the photo with us. I love that part of that photo too. So yeah, so I get excited every time that memory comes up. So that was one of my absolute favorite moments. So
oh, glad I was a part of it. And it's that goes back to kind of what I love, that fans, just supporting fans and having fun together as fans. Not even the celebrities weren't even, well, I mean, they were on, a couple of them were on stage, but it wasn't like Jaren Jensen, right? It was, so yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my favorite pictures ever is actually of you and I, Judy. And it's like, we're on the karaoke floor and I don't know, there's just something about that picture. I can't describe the picture. It's just a picture. But to me, it just, I don't know. It just, you look at it and you see how absolutely happy we both are, like pure joy and like not faked, not anything like that. And so I also love whenever I have that photo come up in my memories
love it.
Too. So yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad we ended on a happy note since, you know, I was trying to bring us all down.
We touched on a few heavy things, but
yeah, it happens every week usually. So we're going to go ahead and close this episode out, and I'm going to have my lovely panelists let everybody know where they can be found. And then when we get to Paula, Paula will let everybody know where It's a Dean Thing can be found. So Erin A.
I on Instagram. There's lots of Doctor Who things and crafty things. I am at Geek and Sew. That's what I do. I geek and I sew things.
Awesome. And make sure to follow Erin A., especially with San Diego Comic-Con coming up. You can see her great work there. So, yes. And Judy?
I am on Instagram at Ballroom Blitzgeek. And it's mostly me doing all my costume things. I like to go to fantasy balls and dress up in all the costumes. So that's what it's mostly of.
Awesome. Yes, it's pretty cool watching some of those. I'm like, oh, I living vicariously.
All the pretty dresses. I know. I love it.
Well, I had to find something to fill the hole that was Gish after it ended.
Yeah. I don't know. It's great watching it. I'm always like, oh my gosh, everybody looks so pretty. And Paula, one of my co-hosts of It's a Dean Thing. Where can we find that podcast?
Yes, you can find Erin, Susie, and I on It's a Dean Thing, where all of your podcasts are at. You can also find us on all the social medias at It's a Dean Thing Pod. Me personally, you can find me at It's My Sandbox on all of the social medias. On Twitch, you can find me at my gamer tag. That's Artemis75, ArtemisZ75. And don't forget the It's a Fandom Thing Pod Discord server, where we also have an It's a Dean channel. So you can come and talk to all the panelists for It's a Fandom Thing and talk to us about Dean on that channel. And yeah, come say hi, leave us some gifts, leave us some fanfic recs.
Yeah, we have a fanfic channel now too. So, because we have some public Discord channels, we actually have had a few listeners join recently. So come there, talk about general stuff. We also have a Christian Effing Bale channel, so you can talk about different things and lots of fanfic recs. You can send us, like, we love the thirsty Dean Winchester stuff, so send us all that we can get.
Please give us more. We love them.
Yeah. Yep. And this is Erin. You can follow Fergie. Fergie's never been to a con, but she might go to a furry convention some year and be very confused. But I'm not putting people down. I'm just saying she might go and go, hey, what's going on here? But you can follow her on TikTok at Schroeder and Fergs. That's ShroederandFergs. It's long, but it's worth it. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/It's a Fandom Think Pod. on Twitter at Fandom Thing Pod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at It's a Fandom Thing Pod. If you have any feedback, show notes, if you'd like to be a potential interview guest on the show, if you would like to potentially be part of our upcoming third annual May 4th marathon streaming event. Yes, every year I kick myself, like, why am I doing this? But it's a lot of fun. So I will be streaming for 12 hours from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you are a creator or, you know, if you're a fellow podcaster and you'd like to potentially be part of it, please feel free to reach out to us via our website. It's afandomthingpod.com. Click the contact us button there. That'll shoot me an email and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And while you're there, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as $3 a month. You get ad-free episodes, you get bonus content, and so much more. And on Friday's episode, Aaron A., Judy, and Paula will return to give us their convention do's and don'ts. So until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter and stop Asian hate.